Welcome to the April 6th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Luke chapter 22, verses 13 through 22, and the sermon is entitled, Jesus' Table, Trading Sin for a Seat, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Every week when we think about the Lord or we come to worship the Lord, I am reminded of His great sacrifice and His great love for us. And so today we come before the Lord's table in a very special way. I don't want you to be scared and freaked out or say, what's going on here? I'm going to try to work that. Today's devotion and leading up to Easter will be threefold, three-part devotion. We're going to look at the Lord's table. We're going to next week look at the Lord's trial. And the following week we're going to look, Easter Sunday, the Lord's triumph. But far before Jesus was raised on the third day, He had a meal with some important men in His life. And I want you to know, I've sat at some important tables. Anytime any one of you invite me to a meal in your home, I feel like I am the guest of honor. I feel like I'm undeserving of being in your home, with your family, and even sitting at your table, and you have honorarily invited me to come. And I'm grateful for those invitations. I don't take those lightly, but I have sat at some tables where I know that I don't belong. In the corporate world, I've sat at some tables. And I know with my education, I didn't belong there, but God had me there. And when I go into these fancy dinners, I've got to try to process which fork should I use? When should I give it up? Or keep it. And there are times this old country boy don't belong at the table like that kind of table. But I'm grateful today that the Lord's table is open and extended to anyone that believes in Jesus. Today, no matter your background, no matter your upbringing, no matter where you are, so long you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome to come to His table. And so with that in mind, there are so much things that stress us out when we think about being the honored guest at the table. If I walk into your home, I'm going to stand at your table until you tell me where to sit down. Because I know that your home is just like church. If somebody takes your seat, you're going to let them know about it. In my house, I have my seat. If you come, I won't tell you about it. But if one of my boys are sitting in my seat, get out of that. You know better. That's my chair. We often wonder and think, am I even worthy? When we come before the Lord's table, we understand Jesus' teaching in John chapter number 6. Jesus was teaching on the eating of flesh and the drinking of blood. And here's what the disciples tell him in that. Please don't turn to John 6. That's not where we're going to be, okay? But here's what the disciples say about Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Supper. They say this, it's hard to understand. So this isn't an easy thing for everybody. And so today I want you to grab your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22 as we talk about the Lord's table. For some of us, this table is hard because the Bible tells us, now listen to me, this is not Baptist rules, these are not Jeffrey's rules, but the Bible tells us who is able to partake and who is not. But more importantly than that, the Bible classifies how you come to the table just as important than anything in your life. But what is the best way to celebrate it? Do we do the little pre-packaged elements where you can do it your own? Do we set up a traditional and pass the plates where you can serve your neighbor? That is the idea behind what you will see today. You will be serving one another the Lord's Supper. That is the beauty of this way. I grew up in the Methodist church. Don't hold that against me. It was a different Methodist church back then. But here's what I want you to say. We done intinction. How many of you know what intinction is? All right, go look that up. That's your homework today. Google intinction. It's where you walk down and you take your little piece of bread and you dip it in the cup, and that's how you do communion. There's nothing wrong with that. But here we are, when we come to the table, do you see how easily we can be in disagreement or we can be unprepared to take our place at that table? Do we celebrate in those ways? Do we use a stale cracker or a fluffy loaf? Do we use juice or do we use wine? That stuff doesn't taste good, Pastor Jeffrey. Here's what I want you to know. There are many times that we gather around the table that we try to make Jesus' table our table. And it ain't our table. We are just guests invited to have a seat. And so today, maybe you don't like the way that we will do communion. If that is the spirit of your heart, it is the wrong spirit to come to the table, because you come remembering what the Lord has done. Go to your Bibles, Luke chapter number 22, starting with verse number 13. We're going to talk about Jesus' table. Look at me real quick. Jesus' table, how he trades our sin for a seat. Trading sin for a seat at the table. Look at verse 13. Here's what God's word says. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now, I want you to know there's about five sermons in those few verses. But here's the first point today. When we think about coming to Jesus' table, here is point number one. The reservation was made by Jesus. The reservation was made by Jesus. Most of us, when we call and we want to sit down for a meal, we make the reservations where we want to eat. Jesus set his table. He gave instructions to his disciples to do and to follow these commands to make ready the Passover feast. When we think about reservations and Jesus making these reservations, there are three things I want to show you quickly that we need to look at. You need to look at the timing, you need to look at the 12, and you need the third thing you need to look at is the model or the spirit of thanks. The timing. When we think about the timing, it is Passover, which means that there are people that are looking back, and we'll get to this in a little bit, and they're making ready for what God had done in their past. They celebrate the leaving of Egypt with a feast of unleavened bread, because Passover is coming, and this is one of the feasts of the Jewish people that they celebrated, looking back to the urgency of how they and why they had to leave Egypt. They had to do it very quickly, and it did not give time for the bread to rise. So that's why you see the unleavened bread used. That's why it's a little stale cracker. It doesn't have leaven in it. It doesn't taste good, but it's not there for your taste. It's there to remind you that God's people had to obey God in a very quick manner. And leaven in the Bible is always used associated with sin. And we as believers need to make sure that there is no sin in our life. So when you hold that little wafer, remember it's not because of the taste. It's because of God's timing. It's Passover. Jesus is about to die. Jesus is about to give his life, give his body for you and for me. Also, you need to see who is invited to this table. The original Lord's Supper, you see that in verse number 14, it says, the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him. This reservation was made at a specific time, but it was made for a certain amount of people, 13 including Jesus. But 12 of the closest men in his circle were there invited at this dinner. The reservation was made for the 12 to join Jesus. These 12 men had lived life and walked with Jesus throughout his life, and they would eat the last meal with Jesus in an earthly sense before he died. So the reservation is for 12. And I want you to know that these are his closest people. Verse number 17, the first cup that goes around, and he passes that cup and gives thanks. Says, take this, divide it among yourselves. As they begin this last meal together, there's a lot going on. There's debate in the room. There's spiritual warfare going on in the room. And it begins with this portion and this first cup being passed, and it is the spirit of thanks. He says, take this, and he gave thanks. Take this and divide it among yourselves. But before he gave it to them, he gave thanks to the Father. As much as was going on, and as much as we see Jesus, here's the way I want you to see Jesus. In this moment, Jesus is fully man. In this moment, Jesus is fully God. He knows what is ahead. He knows there is a betrayer at the table. He knows there's spiritual warfare. He knows all this is going on. And yet in that moment and at the table, he said, Father, I give thanks. When you come to this Lord's table today, here's what we need to worry about. Is the spirit in what you come, is it, thank you, Lord, for what you have done in my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do through me. That was Jesus's spirit as he sat at the table. Reservation was made by Jesus. Look at verse number 19 and 20. And he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given, listen to these words, for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus says, what I'm doing is not for me. This is for you. A reminder, point number two today, that the reservation was made for his people. Those 12 that followed the closest to Jesus as he was on earth, they lived and walked and stumbled along 3 years of earth with Jesus. They have been tested. They have been taught. And now, at the last days of Jesus' life, all but one are labeled faithful to the Lord. And the blessing of this meal and the thanks of it, here's what Jesus is saying. What I'm going to do is not for me. What I'm about to do is for you. Underline those two words. Remember those two words. If you get nothing out of this sermon, if you get nothing out of this meal, Jesus is going to do this for you. It's for those 12, and it extends to us today. The reservation is made for his people. But listen, people, there are three things that we must do very quickly. You've got to examine your faith, you've got to examine your faults, and you've got to examine the foe. Remember, this supper are for those who believe that he is their Savior. That's not my ruling, that is the Lord's ruling. So you've got to examine to see if you are faithful. Do I believe in Jesus as Savior? But also, as we understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we've got to examine our faults. Now listen to me. We don't like doing that, do we? We don't like to say, look, I might have to let this one pass me by because I'm not right spiritually. There's something going on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, again, God's word, Paul writes to the Corinthians and says this in verse number 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Here's what God's word says. You must not be rightly dressed. You must be rightly correct in spirit and heart before you approach the table of God. If there is something against a brother or sister, you should not take the Lord's Supper. If there is sin in your life, you should not take the Lord's Supper. That is what God says. And so as believers, we have been invited, but just like when somebody invites me to something, the first thing I do is I open my calendar. There's sometimes I say, I can come, and there's sometimes I say, I can't. I can't do that day. You've got to examine your faith. You've got to examine your faults, and you've got to examine the foe. What do you mean, Pastor Jeffrey? Real quickly, and just in chapter number 22, look at verse number 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. There is one at the table that has been infiltrated with the enemy. Look at verse number 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Jesus says, the one that's going to betray me, he's got his hand on my table. In verse number 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Here's the warning, friends. Just because we're in a holy place and just because we're doing a holy thing doesn't mean Satan's not at work. So you must examine your faith. You must examine your faults, and you must examine the foe to see if Satan is at work in your life. Look at verse number 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The reservation is for remembrance. I don't know about you, there are times that I make a reservation to celebrate a birthday or an anniversary. Whenever there's going to be a group of people, guess what? You got to make a reservation. But usually when we gather to eat, it's to remember somebody's birthday or to remember an anniversary. When we gather at this table, Jesus has made the reservations, but it is to remember what he has done. Remember three things. Look back at the Passover, to look at the promises, and to look for his provision. Remember in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 12, those Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. And as those plagues were going through, there was a decree put out from the Lord that everyone who was a believer had to kill the first or the fatted lamb, put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost of their home, and the Lord God would pass over that house, pass over and not cause destruction. That was meant for the believers, the Israelite people, and they were obedient to God. And as that happened that night, as God passed through Egypt, he passed over those homes that were marked by the blood of the Lamb. That's where we get this from. That's where we get Passover from. The Bible says that there was a cry in Egypt that night. And the Bible also says that there was not a home in Egypt that was not touched by death of people or animal. The oldest, the first of the family, was killed by the Lord. Now you say, why could a loving God do that? It was for his people, but he was looking for the blood. He was looking for the blood. Today, we need to continue to look at God's faithfulness through his word, but here's what I want you to understand. The Lord God Almighty still looks for the blood. Thank the Lord it's not my blood or an animal's blood, but it's the blood of Jesus. Upon your life and upon your heart, that judgment will not be had. As I close this invitation today, we've talked about reservations made by Jesus for his people, call us to remembrance. But the last one is this. There's room at the table There's room at the table. Point number four, reservations are still available. And so today, just real quickly, and another story in Luke chapter number 14, and you don't have to turn there because I'm not going to read it for time's sake. But Jesus speaks about a great supper, and he sends his servant to invite people to come because the supper was ready. He has prepared the meal. The supper's ready. Go out and bid people to come. And what we see in these invitations, that there were people that had excuses. Somebody had land they had to go look at. Another one bought oxen they had to go try out. And another one got married, so they couldn't come. There's always excuses. But then we're given examples of the people of what Jesus says, go into the streets and go to the byways, go to the city, invite the poor and the maimed, the crippled, the lame, the blind, those who had an excuse, invite them to come. So we see excuses, but we also see examples of people that are invited to the Lord's table. The ones that the world says that are unworthy to be there. Jesus says, bid them come. Bring them on, invite them to come. And as that table still has room, he says this, to go out to the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come that the house may be full. Here's what I want you to know, church. If there's still room, the house is not full. And as long as I have breath in me, I feel it is my job to compel people to come to Jesus, to come to his table, and to understand how much Jesus loves them. Today, in this room, Christians, there is time right now in this moment of invitation to do some self-evaluating. Examine yourself before the table. Know that you have a seat because of your faith in Jesus, but know it has to be approached with the right heart. If you are an unbeliever today, I hope you hear these words that there is still room at his table. There's still room greater in his kingdom. And so today, I bid you to come to Jesus before you come to his table. Today, if you are a sinner, which we all are, if you've done things that would separate you from a holy God by simply asking him to forgive you of your sin, turning from that sin and turning to Jesus in faith, Christ will save you today. And with that is an open invitation to his table, an open invitation to life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reservations are out. The invitations have been given. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, in this moment of invitation, Lord, you are our honored guest. So God, with your spirit at work, I pray, Lord, that you will move in hearts and lives, that you will work in situations that need to be dealt with before we come to your table. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you still see that blood and you still look for that blood. And in these moments, Lord, I pray that we will look at our own lives to see if there is a time that we surrendered our life to Jesus as Savior. All across this room, oh God, looks for the blood. Our God looks for the blood. If there's one without that today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.